We're now joined by our correspondent, Akram al-Sattari, who's with us to give us the latest of these recent attacks on the Gaza Strip, which has seen the death toll increase well over the 500 mark. Akram.
Well, the death, as you have just said, the death toll increases rapidly now. The latest attack in the Gaza Middle Zone took the life of one Palestinian a few minutes ago. The artillery fire has been hit all over the Gaza North area and the in the Gaza Strip North and also the Gaza City North. In Khan Yunis area, the ambulance and civil defense crews are still retrieving and fetching the bodies of Abu Jami' family that was targeted last night. The situation continues to be very harsh and the crisis seems to be soaring up. Also, the Palestinian resistance declared now that their troops are still firing inside Palestine-occupied 48. There is a group of resistance fighters who infiltrated into Palestine-occupied 48, and they are now waging an attack against the Israeli occupation troops into the area, and they confirmed that they have just targeted and destroyed an Israeli jeep. So from the Palestinian side, the fierce resistance and the fire back is ongoing. And from the Israeli occupation side, they are continuing their aggression and killing civilians and destroying homes and facilities and agricultural lands.
Akram, also please bring us up to speed on recent reports indicating that various Israeli soldiers have been injured in clashes with Palestinian forces in eastern Gaza.
Yes, the Israeli soldiers are now falling injured as a result of the Palestinian fire. They are exchanging heavy fire with the Palestinian resistance. In the past few days, we heard about this: those troops, Palestinian troops, moving from Gaza Strip into the Palestine-occupied 48, attacking the Israeli troops and coming safe and sound to the Gaza Strip. So it is now the norm in the Gaza to hear about those attacks and to know that Palestinians are killing the Israeli soldiers and injuring them and coming to Gaza. And also, we are used to the Al-Qassam brigades making statements at the beginning, talking about the expected number of Israeli soldiers injured. And then following that, we see the Israeli media talking about the injuries. They are starting with very small and insignificant numbers, like they would say one Israeli soldier was lightly injured. And then after a while, they would say three soldiers. After a while, they would say five soldiers and one was killed. So the very precise information to this issue are given by the Al-Qassam, and then the Israeli media follows and unreveal the very critical information about the health and the situation of their soldiers. So yes, I believe that there are some Israeli soldiers injured now, and I believe we will be hearing some confirmations and some documented responses from Al-Qassam soon.
Thank you, Akram. We're also now joined by Eli Joseph James, radio host and political commentator, joining us from Chicago, and also professor of University of Wisconsin, Saif Dana, joins us from Wisconsin as well. Let's start off with Eli Joseph James from Chicago. Our correspondent has been reporting on fresh Israeli airstrikes. Mr. James, this shows that the Israeli regime is completely ignoring all the international calls for restraint and to a halting of its attacks on the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, absolutely. As I've been saying for quite some time, the Israelis are always dealing in bad faith. They never keep any of the agreements that they sign. The promises they make, they always break. And it's the international community has to start putting sanctions on the Israelis. People have to realize that the Israeli flag itself, with the two blue stripes and the Star of David in the middle, is a declaration of war against the entire Middle East, because it's their intention to claim from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. That's what those two blue stripes on the Israeli flag represent. So these Zionist Jews are bound and determined to take over this entire territory, and they're determined to do it with force. Unless the international community starts putting sanctions on these Zionists, there will be no end to the struggle, no end to the violence caused by the Israelis.
Saif Dana, professor of University of Wisconsin, would you like to add your thoughts to those comments made by our guest in Chicago, stating that the Israelis surely have ulterior motives for the region other than just, in their own words, trying to dismantle Hamas?
Well, if we learned anything from the July War of 2006 in Lebanon, any defeat for Israel would actually immediately would have really wide implications on Israel's regional status, and would have serious implications on Israel's status in the American strategy in the region and in the world. And the Israelis have learned that very well. All that we have to do is just read the publications of the Institute of National Security in Tel Aviv University to know that, yes, the Israelis managed to destroy and to kill in Lebanon in 2006, but their defeat and their inability to achieve their purposes, their declared purposes and their undeclared purposes as well, because Hezbollah very much clearly and without any doubt won the war in 2006, that actually affected negatively and seriously Israel's regional status, and contributed to delegitimizing Israel in the world amongst those who continue to believe in Israel's right to exist, or at least among some of them. But also, it affected the U.S. Strategy in the region and the U.S. presence in the region. We're actually going through the same thing. We're seeing a second serious and significant defeat. That all what the Israelis have accomplished now in Gaza is just murdering civilians and murdering children and murdering women and old and elderly. They have been unable to achieve any other purpose. Militarily, they have really been defeated. The resistance fighters in Gaza managed just yesterday to kill 15 in one attack, to kill 15 of the elite forces in Israel. And when we talk about the elite forces of Israel, we're talking about the Golani Brigades is the elite of the elite. And they didn't only defeat that brigade in its attempt to go to Shuja'iyya neighborhood, but also they even managed to severely injure, and possibly he's dead, we don't know now, because of the Israeli protocol on announcing their death. The Israeli military protocol, the head of that brigade. So militarily, the Israelis have been unable to achieve anything, and that would necessarily have serious political implications on the Palestinian question, on Israel's regional status and posture, and also would make Americans who have been questioning Israel's value to the American strategy in the world and the region, and some of them think of it as a liability, actually. If we recall General David Petraeus's statement before the Senate in 2010, he basically said that the criminal behavior of Israel, well, the criminal is from me, not from him, but the criminal behavior of Israel is affecting our status in the region and in the world. So they are a burden on the U.S. strategy in the world. They are a burden on the U.S. strategy in the region. And another defeat, which is imminent now, because killing civilians, destroying neighborhoods does not guarantee winning the war. We know that for sure from the history of wars. We know that the implications of the war go beyond, much beyond the ground, much beyond the field. And that's what the Israelis are suffering. So they are very desperate at this point. They are desperate to achieve any military success in order to take it to the negotiation table regarding the ceasefire. Otherwise, they would have to pay a hefty price, because the resistance is winning, and the conditions and the terms of the resistance have a military success and a military victory to back them up.
Mr. James, in Chicago, let's look at the issue in a broader picture. As you mentioned, if these attacks on the Gaza Strip are part of a broader expansionistic agenda by the Israelis, then how can you explain a non-committal and mostly muted and silent response from the collective Arab community in that regard?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I think it has to do with global banking operations of the Zionists, beginning with the House of Rothschild in London, Bank of England, and the Jewish control of the Federal Reserve Bank here in America, Deutsche Bank in Germany, and various other banks around the world, which are controlled by these Zionist Jews. So a lot of these Arab countries the various sheiks and oil barons and what have you deposit their money in Rothschild banks. So unless there's a, you know, a cleaning of the house, and unfortunately, not all of the leaders in the Arab world represent the people. If they have their money deposited in Israeli banks or Zionist banks, then there's a conflict of interest there. In addition, the fact is that Ishmael, the promise in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, which is what the Eretz Israel claim is based on, that promise was made to Abraham, the Ishmaelites, not only the Arabs themselves, are beneficiaries of that promise, and they already occupy that territory. So the Jewish claim, the Israeli claim to that territory is absolutely bogus and is entirely cynical. You have to actually view it as mere propaganda, because the Israelis feed off the fears of the Jewish community worldwide, and as long as there's conflict in the Middle East, then the donations for American Jews, British Jews, German Jews, etc., will come flowing into the coffers, and the propaganda campaign continues. In my opinion, it's totally cynical, and I agree with the guests from Wisconsin. They're not going to succeed. Since 1948, they have not been able to expand their territory except within the Palestinian state, and I think the international community is getting very tired of all of this constant violence being promoted by the Israelis.
Well, let's talk more about what you just mentioned. You brought up the banking oligarchy,
yes,
and the Rothschilds, and
yes,
it's pretty much known what that specific group, what their plans are for,
yes,
for the future of the region, for the future of the world. My question is, in your words, the cynical cycle, how can that be broken?
It has to take cooperation of the international community. Unfortunately, the United Nations is not the correct vehicle, because the United Nations was created by the Rothschilds, and their banking operations are part of the United Nations, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, and other banking organizations are tied in with the United Nations, and until these global, you have economic terrorists is what they are. These global economic terrorists are seen for what they are, and that the United Nations is controlled by the very Zionist forces that are destroying peace in the Middle East, there will be no resolution.